Hey everybody, I'm Jamila McClooney, founder and CEO, financial advisor of Black Wealth Financial. You can check me out at getblackwealth.com. I have a card game. You can find that at loveandmoneygame.com, and you're listening to Black Men Sundays. It's a Black Man Sunday. Time to put all childish things away.
What's going on, everybody? This is Black Men Sundays. I'm your host, Corey Sylvester Murray, and we're talking about generational wealth, mental health, finance, and business. And before we introduce today's guest, my brother Eric from Huntsville, aka Hunts Vegas, Alabama. Who do you have for our Black Men Sunday spotlight, my brother?
Hey, thanks for that, Corey. I appreciate that. You know what, man? I used to live in the Sunshine State, and a lot of times it gets a lot of bad press. But I have some positive. You know, something positive that just occurred in Florida, and you might have heard about it or not, but let me just introduce you to this young soldier. That is Justin Ricketts. Let me tell you something about Justin. Now, again, for many, this guy here was made a perfect 1600 score on his SAT test. Do you hear me? A perfect 1600. Now, again, for many, the first take of the SAT marks the beginning of a two-year-long process of studying, testing, and retesting, and in hopes of scoring high enough to satisfy college acceptance requirement. But for this Suncoast Community High School rising senior, Mr. Justin Ricketts, however, this process was cut drastically short when he received a perfect score of 1600 on his first official test. Now, according to College Board, only 8% of class of 2021 scored a 1400, making Ricketts' score 1600 an incredible rare feat. Now, while many assume this rare score was born out of intense and persistent study habits, Ricketts just said, you know what? I didn't do too much. I just casually completed a couple of practice tests from the school. Now, Ricketts plans, he's been accepted already to three prestigious schools, which is MIT, Harvard, and Princeton. That's my spotlight for today, Mr. Ricketts, Justin Ricketts. Now, back to you.
Shouts out all the way to Huntsville, aka Hunts Vegas, Alabama, man. So let's go and introduce today's guest.
Give fam much love. So,
well, you got to, man. Yes. I think we done won the national chip, man. You got to give us the love
for this year, for last year. So you know, it's another. It's the first time for everything, you know?
Yeah, we'll take it. We'll take it, my brother. I appreciate that. Let's go and introduce today's guest. This sister is a CEO, financial advisor, has a Bachelor of Science in Psychology and Chemistry from Howard University, Bison in D.C. You know, we love our HBCUs on here. She's the founder, Black Wealth Financial, a relationship-focused financial games and courses. We're going to talk about that today. Hopefully, she has some cards with her today. For the love and money, you know, when I think of that, I thought about that Twista song, for the love and money. And I said, you know, okay, I want to know the key features, the quality time. Where can I get the game? Finance anxiety. We talking about that. It's Black Men Sunday. So without further ado, Jamila McClooney, welcome to Black Men Sunday. Sister, how you doing?
Thank you, Corey. I am great. Happy to be here. How are you?
I'm good. I can't wait to have this conversation. I've, you know, spoken. This is our 108th show on Black Men. 108 shows. That's 108 hours of finance, wealth. We've had accountants, financial advisors, CEOs, C-suite, all the C-suite flavors on here. But I've never had someone that was a CEO and a financial advisor that had a card game for the love and money. And I'm gonna be honest, because this Black Men Sundays, my wife gonna kill me. I was out all day yesterday. She was like, you don't want to be married. Yeah, you paying the bills and all that's cool, but you ain't spending no time with me. So let's jump right in. Let's talk about Black Wealth Financial. What's the impetus of that? How did you even decide while you were in college or just in your life? Like, what made you decide I want to be a financial advisor?
Yeah, kind of interesting story. I stumbled across that. I was pre-med at Howard. I wanted to be a doctor my whole life. Everybody knew that from a little girl. used to call me Dr. J coming up because they just knew I would be a doctor. So when I got to college, going through the courses, I'm like, man, I'll be 35 by the time I'm finished with college, just getting started in my career. I don't want to wait that long. So changed over, started learning psychology. And during the course of school, I made so many horrible decisions. I talk about how I signed up for a credit card, 18 years old. They came to Howard's campus, set up the tents, free t-shirt, free Subway sandwich. I'm a broke, starving college student. A free Subway sandwich and a t-shirt. I called the homies, like, hey, they're giving us, like, we're going to sign up. So I signed up for this credit card, Discover. They give me a $1,000 limit, 18, no job. I'm like, oh, I won't really use it, you know, but I'll get it and get the t-shirt and the free sub. Started charging a little here and there. Oh, the minimum payment's only $10, $15. I can do that. And I just, I mean, before I knew it, I was maxed out. Couldn't pay the bill. I didn't have a job. And so I quickly learned, like, you know, at getting out of college, I had to repair my credit. There was just so much, so many things I did not know and had not learned about money. Nobody told me, nobody taught me about credit. And so I realized there had to be other people who were facing that same type of thing. And I wanted to be a doctor because I want to help people. That's what I really love to do. So becoming a financial advisor allows me to do that. I get to help people every day with their money, change their lives with their finances. And so I get that same, well, I don't know if it's the same fulfillment, but it fulfills that part of me that I wanted to be a doctor to fulfill. So that's how I got started.
And that's awesome that you said that, because yesterday, you know, Black Men Sundays is not just a podcast. Like, I spoke to some kids about financial literacy yesterday. It's like my first mentee group where we have seniors graduating. So a lot of them going to Bethune-Cookman. I wish they was going to FAMU, but as long as you're going to a HBCU, we good. But I told them, now listen, let me give y'all some free game. When y'all step on that campus, at FAMU it was called the SET. A lot of schools call it the Student Union. When you walk in there, like you said, you're going to see that Chick-fil-A, you're going to see them credit cards, and they're going to have them bonuses. But I say, you got to be careful about that. So it's just amazing that you came out the gate with that. So, but let's talk about Black Wealth Financial, how you set that up, and what was the impetus for that?
I really, when I first started, I've been doing this is my 14th year as a financial advisor. And my first company was called MoneyMD, and I catered to the healthcare industry because that's what I was connected to. And I just really got inspired to rebrand and take this thing. I wanted to create a movement. That's why I named it Black Wealth Financial. And so I created Black Wealth Financial, and we've been rocking to just change the money mindset and set these financial principles that we're so far behind in.
Definitely. And, you know, one thing that really intrigued me about you, I said, a card game for the love and money. And, you know, I'm not going to lie to you. I was out a long time last night. So, you know, that couch is my back hurting right now. I got up at 8 o'clock, cut the grass, listened to the church service, cut the grass, came back in, did research on you. But let's talk about this card game for the love and money.
For the love and money. Yeah, I noticed when I work with clients, it's very rare that they come as together as couples, even if they're married or in long-term relationships. It's one person that's serious about getting their money together. Their partner is completely opposite and really has no interest. And I thought back to when I would go see clients together, and I remember seeing this woman, and she said, look, my husband doesn't know how much I make. So when he comes here, don't mention that, because he's going to make me pay more bills. And so I'm in this meeting, and I'm thinking, wow, you know, nope, he doesn't know how much you make. Like, how can you guys be on one accord and work together? How is this money flowing in the right direction with the right foundation if you're not having these conversations? And so I realized there's a lot of secrecy and a lot of shame and a lot of conversations that just aren't being had. So I created For the Love and Money, and it's a conversational card game where you just low stakes pull a card and you have these discussions in a low key kind of environment where you can understand your partner's thoughts, their beliefs, their feelings about money, because we're all, you know, raised differently, come from different money backgrounds, and they're affecting how we make these moves with our money. Whether you're a saver or spender or whatever your thing is, it's uncovered in this game. So you can really have that, you know, communication is the most important thing in marriages and relationships, and they fall in divorce for those reasons, finances and communication. So I combine the two so that they can have these conversations that they're just avoiding avoiding.
That's interesting, but you know, because we black, this Black Men's Sundays, you know, I don't play spades. I played hearts and I was pretty good, played spades. But where did the card game come from?
No, so it's going to be completely different from spades and any other game you had, you played. But it's so like you and your wife, you mentioned, you know, you might be in a doghouse a little bit. So this will be something that on a date night you pull out. And I can guarantee you, maybe not you, but couples who have played this game, even long-term couples, people that have been married, they just have not, they uncover stuff they didn't know about their partners. Like, oh, okay, that's why you do this with your money, or that's why you look at it this way. You're really having the talks and the conversations. It might not come up in a natural, you know, way otherwise.
Definitely. And let's talk about the key features of this card game. I'm really like, I kind of want to play it, but let's talk about some of the key features and how that would help me. Because I feel like with me, I do Black Men's Sundays. I work for the news. I have to edit the show, do my social media. You know, so my wife says, "But you don't have no quality time for me, man." So how can we, like, what are the key features of the game and how does that help enhance us with quality time?
Oh, this is quality time right here. This is that intimacy building, the communication, all the things that keep a relationship and the foundation strong. And so it's really going to allow you guys to connect. That's my goal, to really be transparent, uncover, you know, your thoughts, maybe things that come up that you haven't even thought about or even understood how it impacts your life and your relationship or your relationship with money. And so I say this is a good date night game. You're just hanging out, want to just pull a few cards. And there's over 109 cards. So there's you know, you don't have to play them all in one sitting. But it really is a place to promote intimacy and connection with your partner.
Now
so
I
this
got
might
you.
Get you back on the right track.
Okay, definitely. Nah, because my next question for you, you know, because like I said, I'm in the doghouse. So I know what it feels like. My back hurt. Ain't feeling too good. I think my pit bull and my chihuahua are sleeping on my bed, on my side of the bed, sleeping good. Even though the wife sleeps with Alabama covers on. So I'm glad I don't sleep on the left side of the bed. But anyway, so my next question for you is, like, when we talk about cards, the only fear when I was researching you is I don't want my wife to pull my card out of the deck. And now I'm a little open right now. So, you know, let's talk about that a little bit for the brothers that are like, okay, I'm apprehensive. You know, like your example, you said they didn't want the wife or the husband to know how much money they made, but the bills are paid, life is good. But now we're playing this game. You know, I don't want to pull the wrong card. And then the wife pulls my card and now we having a whole nother conversation. And now I might be in the garage instead of the couch. So let's talk about that.
Look, don't at me. I mean, I can't help you on that. But the vulnerability that is necessary in relationships, you know, this is hopefully to remove the shame, you know, because there's a lot of shame a lot of times with money that we're facing. And again, a lot of these things we don't even realize. We're kind of operating subconsciously. We don't even know that we're feeling this way about our money and we're handling our money in certain ways. So hopefully with the vulnerability that could come out, it will promote the closeness and the intimacy that may be lacking or strengthen it in the relationship.
So where can we purchase this game, Jamila?
You can go to loveandmoneygame.com. That'll take you right to the Amazon link. You can grab a game there. And you know what I'll do for your listeners? I'll give a code. I'll give a code for Black Men Sundays. I'll run it for 7 days. From a promo code, we'll do 25% off for Black Men Sundays. So use the code Black Men Sundays. Go to loveandmoneygame.com. We'll run it from the 21st to the 28th. And I hope you guys can grab a game and play it and give me some feedback and see how it enhanced or what it uncovered in your relationships.
A lot of people that I speak with nowadays, especially black men, even sisters, but a lot of, I feel like the sisters are so elevated above the black men now. I feel like, but and I have a sister on the show, but let's talk about like finance anxiety and like what are some things we can do to reduce finance anxiety? Because I feel like I've had accountants, financial advisors, CEOs come on, and they always say to reduce finance anxiety, just make more money. But I feel like it's deeper than that. So give us some tips.
Well, I think that's a loaded question, right? In order to really deal with financial anxiety, we have to be honest and aware that it's there. A lot of us are just carrying it. We're doing what we saw our parents do or didn't do, and whatever that is, we're just running with it. And so I think really delving into the physiological responses when you get money and what that feels like, right? Is your chest getting tight when it's time to pay a bill? Are you not opening the mail because there's a bill in there? Are you just ignoring what's coming up? But I think really being aware and understanding how that affects your body, like therapy, a lot of that comes out in therapy and understanding the underlying issues. So I would say just really, really being in touch and aware so that you can be accountable, because you can make more money, but unless you get the foundation together, it's more problems. You're still dealing with the financial anxieties, right? You might create more debt, or you might, hoard it all. So really understanding how it affects you and looking at your life and looking at how you feel when these things come up and being in tune with that is how we can first identify and begin to tackle the financial anxiety.
Yeah, because one term that keeps coming up when I talk about finance anxiety is the Sunday Zoomies. And at first I was like, what's a Sunday Zoomie? And I had my licensed clinical social worker, who's also the official Black Men's Sundays mental health expert. And I said, oh, that's what that is. So you telling me on a Monday morning, I might have played 2K all Friday night, Saturday night. Even though Kayla gonna be like, doggy line, you ain't played 2K like in over 90 days. But I'm just saying, I don't play the game. I don't went out to eat. I didn't have some fun with the friends, but I forgot to take care of something. Oh, the water bill's due Monday. Oh, I forgot to pay her. They gonna cut us off 9 a.m. I ain't even gonna be able to take a shower. I'll just say take a shower, but you know what I was about to say. But yeah, but the thing about it is that's real. 4 or 5 in the morning, you wake up and all kind of. My chest is tight. My heart beating like I'm like, man. And then everything that I should have did Friday night, Saturday night, and sleep comfortably Sunday into Monday, I wake up 4 a.m., do all that, and then I get back into bed. And now guess what? I'm up for the rest of the day. It's 3 o'clock. I have a shoot, and I'm just yawning. So what advice would you give for the brothers and sisters who have the Sunday Zoomies, not because of procrastination, because I always say procrastination is the killer of your dreams. But when we're talking about finances and bill paying, oh, I forgot to pay that, I forgot to pay this. What can we do to reduce that anxiety level?
I think we can make it a part of our routine, right? Maybe Sunday at noon after church, after breakfast, whatever. That's the day that we sit down and we assess what do we have due, what's coming up. And we take it week by week. You don't even have to plan it out for the month, but setting alarms in your phone, it has to become a priority, just like anything else in your life. You're not gonna forget to go to work, you're not gonna forget to eat. So making it a priority where you sit down and really, the whole point is to face it, right? It's so much easier to ignore and forget and just not pay attention, but really making it a priority and saying, hey, look, even 30 minutes, I'm going to take every Sunday. I'm going to set the tone for my week financially and see what I need to take care of and do. Throw it on auto pay if that's available to you, and making sure that it's set up properly.
Yeah, but see, that's my thing. I'd be scared of that auto pay because I might wanna, I might wanna go to the club Saturday night. I might pop a couple bottles, eat at a new black-owned restaurant. I'll walk out with like a $300 bill, and then that auto pay come out, and sometimes it don't go through, and I'm like, ah, oh, water's off. The wife looking at me like, why the water off? Why is dark in here, bro? I can't even like do what I have to do. That's real. So I done had that happen.
Yeah, that's
And my
common.
checks ain't light, you know what I'm saying? So, Before I let you go and let my brother speak, my brother Kalali looked like he ready to get busy. You see my brother with the beard on, with the orange shirt. He looking like he from Syracuse, but he from Virginia. Bad news. Well, actually, he from Phoebus area, Buck Road to be exact. But let's talk about your education. Because, you know, one thing I love about Black Men's Sundays, and one thing I love just being a mentor in my community. I'm in Apopka, Florida, you know, home of Warren Sapp, a lot of brothers, but a lot of students now that are seniors, when I spoke to them yesterday, you know, like 10 years ago, when I would ask these same kids, what school are you? I'm going to Florida State. I'm about to be a Gator. You know, I can't stand the Gators. You know, I lived in Tallahassee, ate Guthrie's, went to FAMU. So it's Florida State, Florida, but I don't do Florida Gators. But I noticed with you, you have a Bachelor of Science in Psychology and Chemistry. So let's talk about how has the chemistry side helped you professionally?
I definitely think it's made me, you have to have an analytical mind to deal with that. And so the way that I analyze finances is definitely based off of that chemistry background. The behavioral science background allows me to really understand the thoughts, the feelings, all those underlying emotions that come up. So combining those together really has helped me be well-rounded when I come to this financial picture and really understand, I think, the holistic background of how it all plays in together.
Perfect. All right, fellas, the stage is open. Let's go.
All right. Well, this is Kalali Dogbe. I got a couple questions to ask you. First of all, I always like to thank y'all for, taking time out to come on the show and do the show. So I know you spoke about being on One Accord, you know, in terms of finances, like married couples being on One Accord in terms of finances. And, you know, I applaud you for creating that game. I think that's something that could, you know, that card game, that's something that could really help a lot of married couples have conversations. But aside from having the conversations, what do you think, or what have you learned that couples should do to be on One Accord with their finances? Like, should they really do things with their money in terms of, like, should they have joint accounts? Should they have separate accounts? I know, you know, different couples do different things, but have you found, like, some tried and true things that really work?
Really good question. I don't really think it's a one size fits all, right? You know, I think it's important to identify what your strong suit is, right? Maybe if you're not the saver, but your partner, your wife is the saver, having that conversation. I think there's a place for joint accounts. There's also a place for separate accounts, you know, both you can't go wrong with, but really having and setting the tone for the expectations, you know, who's going to pay what? What percent of it are we paying? What bills are you responsible for? What debt are we getting? How are we going to tackle all this stuff? Having the conversations. Because what I found, again, like I mentioned earlier, we're doing stuff like our parents. You know, I had a friend, their marriage didn't work because her father was the person who cooked in her family. So when she got married, she expected her husband to cook. That's what my dad did. Mm-hmm. His mom cooked. And so he expected her to cook. So already off the bat, there was a big confusion and tension over the expectation of dinner, of something that could have been discussed and set the expectation. So I really think having those conversations to operate in your strength is good for those couple conversations with the money.
So why do you think people aren't having these conversations? Like, one of the things you said was maybe they're a little bit shameful about it. Do you think there's, like, I guess it's kind of a two-part question. Like, do you have any ideas on what the source of that shame might be, or do you think there might be some other reasons, or is that the main reason?
I think it's loaded. There's so many things that we're dealing with, and then coupled with the society that we live in today, with what we see on Instagram and what we kind of measure ourselves with. So there's constant things that are popping up that may make you feel insecure, make you feel, you know, have self-worth issues. So I think it's very difficult sometimes to have that kind of exposure and vulnerability. We don't want to be judged, right? You know, I don't know what your expectation is, you know, how much you think I make or how much debt you think I have. And so I think it's just, there's a lot of trauma under that. I'm taking this certification right now in the trauma of money. And it's been so eye-opening learning how any trauma that you've had in your life, it doesn't even have to be money related. You know, anything that you grew up in or experienced is shaping how you deal and manage and handle your money. So there's a lot of stuff under it that we may not even be aware of and know that's there. So, and then being ready for what comes up, right? That's why a lot of people don't go to therapy, because it's like, man, now when I know, I have to do the work now, right? Like, you can't just, now you know, and but that now it's action time. So it's a lot of stuff that has to be uncovered and kind of worked with and dealt with. It's not an overnight thing. So I think the process, the vulnerability, and all the emotions that come up really keeps people just in fearful from sharing.
Got it. So yeah, so definitely, you know, as you've already said, I think the best thing is try to have that transparency and communication. You know, hopefully your game will help and has helped, many other married couples to continue to have that transparent conversation, you know, about finances and hopefully other things as well. As you open up about, you know, finances, you can open up about other things as well, because I know that's a difficult conversation. We all, you know, those of us who are married, we all having them conversations, and they ain't the cutest conversations to have, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
So definitely, appreciate you coming on the show. That's all I got.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
You said trauma. So on our show, we talk about generational wealth. We've talked about generational trauma. We've talked about generational poverty. But let's talk about, if I'm playing this game and my wife makes more money than I do, am I vulnerable playing this game at that point? Or will the romance still be there? Or is she going to be looking at me kind of like,
You got to take that up with your wife. No, I think it will definitely uncover some things and some feelings, but how that's handled and maybe it becomes a make or break type of conversation, right? And if that's the case, it's something that needs to take place as well. So I think that it spills over in other areas, right? So it may just be about, there may be other conversations that if you're avoiding the money conversations, there's some other conversations you're not having. So it's going to expose you. Some of the questions are built and meant to do that. They're built to expose and open you up to have these types of discussions. But it also, on the same hand, once you do that, it can encourage and build the intimacy and closeness once you are vulnerable and once you are open. So I believe that it could go either way. And I hope, you know, for anybody, it goes in a positive way. And sometimes if it ends up that it's the end, then it was good to have that conversation as well.
Definitely. And I'm going to give you the easy question now. Are you enjoying yourself on Black Men Sundays?
I'm having a blast. I'm not even thinking about the game being on right now.
Wow, that's awesome. Yeah, because I'm a little gently uncomfortable asking this next question, but when I realized you were going to come on, a brother emailed me and he said, okay, my wife makes more money than me, but there's no intimacy. We're like roommates. I pay the bills. She does what she wants. But, you know, when I want some of that Friday night love, she looking at me like, nah, your check a little light.
Wow.
Yeah. So when we're talking about Black Wealth Financial and you haven't fully had the conversation with your, you know, the bills are being paid, the lights are on, the water's on, the grass is cut, the palm trees is cut, you got a new gate, all that with inflated prices. But I feel like nowadays, Black women, and we've had sisters on the show, we've had brothers that say sisters are running the game. Sisters have master's degrees, PhDs. I had a brother last week, Dr. Chuck Wallington, in the C-suite, read his book. He said white men hold 95.5% of board chair positions versus Black men only hold 3.9% behind white men and African American women. So that means the sisters are elevating, and I love that, because I remember a time where sisters were underpaid, but now that sisters are carrying, now, you know, it's like NBA 2K term, you know, if you just have a big man, you have a little point guard with a 99 three-point shot, 99 mid-range, they can carry you and score all the points. But I feel like a lot of brothers are looking at these sisters and they're intimidated. So what can we do as Black men to not just secure a sister that's winning, but to be confident in that relationship so that we don't feel less, we feel congruent, you know what I mean?
That's a great question. I see that a lot. I see that in the couples that I deal with. There's a huge income gap between the women that I work with and who they're choosing to be in relationships with. But that was just like college, right? When college, that goes back to systemic trauma again, that Black men, education system, we could talk about that all day. But again, the importance of those conversations, because it may not always need to come down to who makes more. And like you said, in the situation, he makes more than, I mean, he's paying the bills, he's handling everything, but having those conversations about how that makes him feel, right? And what his expectations are and what she's feeling. She may not even, is she really having these and cutting him off on Friday nights because he makes less money? Like really having the conversations. And that's why having them can uncover these issues and what the real underlying, because when we're holding stuff in, you know how that is. We're holding stuff in and then you're blowing up over something that was tiny. But it's because there's bigger issues, bigger stuff you're not really getting off your chest. So having those conversations to even understand, is that really a problem? Because it doesn't seem like that's a problem in that scenario. He's taking care of everything that he can. But there's balance in relationships, right? There's strengths and weaknesses. And maybe if he's not the higher earner, there's other things that he does and he does well. So it's about the balance and the give and take. And I don't think it's always about the check-to-check comparison.
I love that answer. I love that answer. And last question for you. I haven't played the card game. Can I just get a little example, a little sample of the card game?
Okay. One question, light question. Did you get an allowance as a kid? Right. So that just uncovers a lot. Do you want to give your kids allowances? How much did you get? Do you know your credit score? You know, one of the questions, how much money do you think I make? Because a lot of people, you don't even know what somebody earns or what's coming in. So those types of questions. There are some deeper questions, you know, tell me about a time that, oh, a good question based off of what you just asked is, what's one thing that you wish I understood about you and your money? What's the best gift I ever got you? Like some of those just really, you know, things you may not even think about, or you're just kind of doing on autopilot that, you know, I keep buying my wife this, she doesn't even like this, but you can have it in a game setting where it's not that serious. It's not tense. We're not beefing. We can really just be open and have a conversation in a fun way.
Wow. Yeah. I'm ready to play this game now. I'm ready to play. I'm going to play mine on a Friday night. See, I ain't cute. Like, my man Kalali might play that game like on a Monday, and I'm gonna wait till Friday, Saturday. So if I'm in the doghouse when Monday come, my back ain't gonna be all stiff, and I got to carry a camera for like 8 hours on a Monday. So Jamila That's McClooney, not- definitely, right. definitely. So Jamila McClooney, thanks for coming on Black Men Sundays. I appreciate you. I appreciate your time. The CEO, financial advisor, Black Wealth Financial has a card game. I've never heard a financial card game. For the love and money. I'm going to tell you, I'm going to have to get Twista on the show and do well. For the love and money. I can hear it already. You know?
So I love
again,
that.
Definitely. So again, as a Bachelor of Science in Psychology and Chemistry from Howard University, you know, FAMU over here, A&T, Norfolk State, Alabama, A&M. I appreciate you. And thanks for coming on the show, Queen.
Thank you, Corey. I really appreciate being here. I had a blast. Thank you, guys. All the questions. Good times. It's a Black Man Sunday.